Vav Av Simen Kuf Chav Dalet Halacha Dalet, and we're going to Halacha Yud Beis. Okay, we're talking about Tisha B'Av. If there's an other, someone that Laleinu lost a relative, he's in the Shiva, and he's so the Halacha is that he could go to Shul at night, and even during the day, a person could go to Shul until they finish the Kinos. In fact, he's allowed to get an Aliyah. Usually, an other doesn't take an Aliyah. But in shul, he could take an aliyah and read the haftar. And the reason why is because everyone is in a state of mourning. It's a very important concept to internalize. Halacha is that Torah is mesamech esalev. It gladdens the heart. If a person is looking for joy, true joy comes from learning Torah. Shenema, as it says, Pikud Hashem Yishom Mesamech Chilev. The teachings of Hashem are straight. Yishori Mesamech Chilev. They give a person joy. So therefore, in Tisha B'Av, one's not allowed to learn specific, meaning things that normally give a person joy. Rather, we have to focus our learning on things that sadden a person's heart. And this is such an amazing concept. It doesn't mean a chas v'shalom person is supposed to be depressed and this and fall into place of despair, because we already mentioned the Yirmiyahu Navi himself is a Navi. But there's a certain focus of sadness that we're missing something. And therefore, as the Diva Yatziv says, there's a major machlokes about this, but it seems to be that I would say the more accepted understanding is that there is a mitzvah of Tam L'Torah on Tisha B'Av too, not the way usually it's presented, that there's no mitzvah today. If you want, you can learn the stories, the sad stories in Maseches Gittin. No, the mitzvah is to learn Torah, and therefore every moment that you're learning and you're going to shiur, everything has to have in mind that you're learning Torah. In fact, so therefore, there's a list of what to focus on, and that is Yirmiyahu HaNavi. Except you have to skip verses that give too much comfort. Even destruction of the other nations, you have to skip. You could study Eich, you could study Iyav. Different in Gemaras that discuss sad things and sad stories related to the Chorban. Paiskim already add more things you can learn. Divimus, you can learn history books about the Holocaust and everything else. It all really is to get us to internalize the tragedy that we the loss of the Beis Hamikdash and the fact that we need to do tshuva and be zoicha to the Beis Hamikdash Mehel V'Yamin. Something that also what's interesting, kids are allowed to learn, but to teach them you're allowed to also, as long as it's not something that you're not allowed to study. When it comes to something that you normally say, one is permitted to say so, but if it's something that you don't say every single day, then you shouldn't say. The pregnant ladies and nursing ladies, even though they're in great discomfort, they have to complete the fast. But nevertheless, one should have asked a shayla, especially when there's a possibility of a danger or the child will lose its milk, meaning the nursing lady won't have milk. All these different situations, the person asks a shayla because many times we're lenient, especially with manazeh when it's very hot in the different climates that we live in. And generally speaking, a person that is sick, even though he's not in a state of danger, if you could clearly point to him and say, or to her and say that, oh, she's not well, she's ill, then they are exempt from fasting. Nevertheless, many times a person should at least fast, let's say overnight, whatever they can, but never to put themselves even in a state of they were close to a place of danger. And the woman that just gave birth certainly doesn't fast after 7 days, up to 30 days technically speaking, she's also exempt. She's like Chodesh B'Sakana, but she feels great, good to says to fast. Like I said, these are the types of things one should ask a shayla. And even any time that someone is eating, they should not indulge in food, rather only eat what they need in order to be healthy. This way they're really joining everyone else in the fast. When it comes to rinsing, rechitza is forbidden, whether it's hot or cold water, if it's done for the purpose of pleasure. But if it's not done for the purpose of pleasure, it's permitted. For example, getting rid of dirt or washing hands in the morning. But since it's done for not for the sake of pleasure, so you have to stick to the minimum. So therefore, you usually do it to the end of the fingers, meaning by the second joints, by the third joints, actually. And that's in order to get a ruach ra in the morning because that's considered dirt. Similarly, if you go to the bathroom, certainly, especially today, walk into the bathroom itself, you already have to wash your hands. And the Kiddush says also for davening mincha, one should wash their hands. Women that are rinsing things, let's say food, in order to prepare for food for after the fast, especially after chatzos, where there's much more of a permissibility to do so, that's not a problem either because their intention is not to wash. It's in order to wash the foods. When it comes to someone that's going for a tzarech mitzvah, and there's no other way rather than to go through the water once permitted to do so, and even to go back. However, if someone's going for business, on the way there, you're allowed to go through the water, but on the way back, one is not permitted to do so. Someone came back from what was walking, and their feet were very weary and weak, one is permitted to wash their hands. See, again, because it's done lerufu, it's not done for oinik. It's not done for pleasure. Even though, when it comes to rinsing, there's another example where a woman, for example, who the tefillah, we already mentioned this, is going to the mikveh. So the halacha is that even though, technically speaking, going to the mikveh is not a pleasurable chitza, but since marital relations is not permitted on Tisha B'Av, so therefore there's no tefillah. So there you go, after Tisha B'Av, meaning motzei Tisha B'Av. Sikh, what about anointing? So smearing stuff is also only forbidden if it's done for pleasure. So if someone has scabs or different itches and stuff like that, then one is permitted to smear these things. When it comes to wearing shoes, so we know that leather shoes is the main issue. The main thing that you're not supposed to wear, and technically gives the most comfort and support, is leather shoes. Nevertheless, so any other type of material should be technically okay, but if it's really, really comfortable, they were placed in the hell that it's not preferable not to wear such things. Rather, to feel a little bit of the discomfort of the ground. If a person is walking in the kids discuss the situations where a person is walking amongst non-Jews, today it's very uncommon because you could wear other types of materials and you'll feel just as comfortable and you'll be able to. And if a person, they're really stuck, and then they're allowed to wear, in, let's say they're walking a long distance and they don't have proper shoes, so then there's a permissibility to wear leather shoes if there's nothing else available. And then once they get to the city or to the shul, then they should take off those shoes. Many times there's these shoes that have like a little bit of like a leather type, let's say sneakers, or maybe it's the Nike sneakers. Was asked, you know, they have like a little bit of leather. That's not a problem. Leather means it's significant, either in the bottom sole or on top, and it's really part of the shoe itself. Otherwise, it's not a problem.